The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. And I am coming at you live. 6:21. You know what that is, folks? First day of summer. Or for parents, first day of the season of hell. Schools are out. You got to take care of your kids now. Well, let's talk about some stuff, and I hate to segue from talking about kids into this, but Jerry Sandusky, you are one sick puppy, and I hope that everything you did to those boys happens to you in the slam, and worse. I hope they use every tool in the shed, to ruin you after what I've heard. And Mike McCreary is getting off way too easy. By the way, this idiot should be in prison too. He looks around the corner, sees Jerry Sandusky having sex with an 11-year-old boy, and slams a locker to stop it. To let you know, like, hey, somebody's here. Are you kidding me? You go, you grab the dude off of him, you punch him and pummel him until he can't move, you step away, and you stay in front of him and the kid until the cops arrive. That's what you do, McCreary. Shame on you. Speaking of sick, this guy's raping or molesting in some way a 4-year-old girl in Texas. Her father sees it, punches the guy in the head several times. The guy dies. And I love Texas. The guy will not be charged. He will not be charged with a crime. Uruguay, I agree with that completely, by the way. Uruguay is becoming the first state to deal drugs on the record, of course. Many states dealing drugs, but Uruguay, the first country, the first actual country and state in South America that will be selling drugs. They are going to become the official pot dispensary of the country in an effort to shut down crime. Insect armies, drones. I told you the cyborgs are coming. I told you so. Now they've got little insects like out of the movies that are bugs and they're cyborgs and, oh, it's so cool. College football. We'll have a 4-team playoff. Not much cooler than that. I believe this will start. It'll be 8 in a few years. It'll be 16 after that pretty soon. And then eventually, it just makes sense. Why don't the top 25 just get into the tournament? The 25 versus the 24 have a play-in game. And then the top 8 seeds get byes, just like hoops. It'd be the greatest tourney of all time in all of sports. It has all the elements of March Madness, but it's football. And you do it in the bowl games. I calculated it would be 24 total games. So that's 24 bowls to get to the championship. And then there's like another 11 or 12 or 13 bowls. They can just take the remaining at-large teams that weren't in the top 25. It's perfect. It's a great system. It's like the NIT. The other bowls become the NIT. Football, you hear me talking it. The Fantasy Insights Report, we're working it. We're going to start pimping that today because we've got the player news updated. We've got the depth charts updated. The writers are hard at work getting the report ready for our late July launch. We did do a survey. You have answered it in droves, and I appreciate that. It's going to help us customize the site even more. So let's get down to some football. Percy Harvin, unhappy with his role, not his money. Adrian Peterson's a freak. He's cutting. He's beating his teammates in races. Popular belief, he will be ready for week 1. Chris Johnson is committed. Chad Johnson is Chad Johnson. He's going to 86-85, and I'll tell you about that. MJD will likely hold out, the dumbest front office in the league in Jacksonville, making sure that happens. Falcons, running back by committee. Turner owners don't retain him. Patriots, running back by committee. Adai is there for blitz pickup. Ridley and Vereen will be the two getting the carries. The Euro Cup, the World Cup. Hey, I went to Grand Rapids. They had deep dish pizza, and the women are much better looking than I expected. I went to Dallas. Dallas is Dallas. It's always the same. And I went to New Orleans. We'll talk about the dichotomy that is New Orleans. And Monica, boy, did she yell at me because I had some foie gras. I didn't realize what was going on with foie gras. I just thought it was a French word for duck pate. Father's Day was here. I hope you enjoyed yours like I enjoyed mine. The Fantasy Insights Weekly Report, I told you it's coming soon. Football season is here. So today we will only spend one segment on garbage time. We'll have the rest of the segments on football. Smitty will be here. I might let him talk a little bit about the NBA. Looks like LeBron is going to get his first championship, but I'm not counting out OKC just yet. The Kings, they're still the champs. I'm ready for some football. FI's ready for some football. We're going to do a makeover. The first rankings will be out this weekend. Smitty and I will go through a couple of teams today. We'll start the tour. Fantasy Insights Radio back for another Thursday of sports, steak, and the sexes. Oh, I was in New Orleans, speaking of steak and the sexes. I'm sorry I missed you last week, but I was probably liquored up on Bourbon Street during the show. Oh, New Orleans. New Orleans, what a town. First time I've been there post-Katrina. And having been there only for limited time before Katrina, I didn't realize too much of a difference in the feel of the people, but the lay of the land is just very strange to see. It looks like a third world country. It really does. New Orleans is crazy. There's only two types of people in New Orleans. Too rich and too poor. There's nobody in the middle. Nobody. Now, while I was there, I got a chance to golf at the Metairie Country Club. I don't even know if Jews are allowed there, but somehow I got in. That's the advantages of being a Jew. When you're 6'3", and you have a reddish coloring and a browner hair, when you're 6'3", the schnoz doesn't look as pronounced. I don't have a hook in my nose. My nose is straight, so I don't have the Jewish nose. So I snuck in. But as magnificent as the golf was, what was really stunning was driving there and seeing the neighborhood. And I'm telling you, it's like in Chicago, you have Caprini Green, where you're, you know, on Michigan Avenue or wherever you are, and all of a sudden you cross one block and you're in the worst ghetto in the country. It was on the highway, and we're going to the country club, and we turn right, and we cross, you know, we're in deep in the New Orleans ghetto. I mean, just disgusting ghetto. Katrina ravaged. People were fine. But the physical state of it was just horrid. And then all of a sudden we cross one street that, I mean, a narrow, regular street, and every single house on both sides are like huge estates from the 1800s. One of the nicest neighborhoods I've ever seen. I mean, typical South, huge trees, beautiful frontages of the homes, huge yards. You know, and then we get to the country club and it was amazing. I got to travel with the 1%. I got to travel with the 1% when I was in New Orleans. It was nice. We went to Emeralds for dinner. Oh, was that good. Lamb ribs. I never had lamb ribs before. Seafood etouffee. Turtle soup. Oh, Monica went ballistic. Ballistic on me that I told her I had turtle soup. She just said, I can't believe you ate a turtle. I said, I ate a turtle. I ate turtle soup. It's a sea turtle. Totally different turtle. It's like escargot saying you're mad I ate a garden snail. It's a totally different thing. And one of these crackers had foie gras on it, and I'm telling you, when I told Monica that I had foie gras, she went as ballistic on me as I've ever seen a woman go. It was sort of like George Brett with the pine tar. That's how ballistic. I guess it's going to be illegal in California, like they explode the liver or something terrible. Don't eat foie gras. That's what I got out of it. I was going to have Monica on the show today, but unfortunately we didn't have time. We have too much football to get to, but I did tell her I won't eat it anymore. I won't eat it anymore. You shouldn't either. No more foie gras. I just thought it was a French word for, like, chicken liver. I didn't realize it was, like, some crazy process. You know, I'm ignorant that way. And being vegan's impossible on its own, but to try to, in New Orleans, everything's fried. Oh, the beignets for breakfast at the airport were the best airport food I ever had with the chicory coffee. Oh, it's great. But one thing I got to tell you about New Orleans is that Bourbon Street, whereas before, years ago, it used to be a center of culture and it used to be the, you know, the jazz bars and all that. Now, it's just gross. It's absolutely gross. First of all, that smell, the smell is awful. It's like sewage mixed with dead fish guts mixed with skank. It's, you know, Bourbon Street is like that little town on Mars in the original Total Recall. You know, the village that Schwarzenegger had to go to find Malina? That's what Bourbon Street is like nowadays. It's like that disgusting place. It's really just gross. It smells horribly. I mean, in the four blocks it took me to walk from the bar to my hotel, by the way, at 4 a.m., and the streets are full, I must have been propositioned by 40 prostitutes. And thank goodness I'm a germaphobe, because otherwise I was drunk. Who knows what morally I might have done. But I'm a germaphobe, so and I never go with the prostitutes. It's a good thing. One of those things you don't know about me, now you do. And, you know, the problem is, in New Orleans, you order a Jameson with a splash of ginger ale, and they serve it to you in a big gulp. It's not like they just give you a glass with ice in it. They give you a big gulp full of the liquor. Take it on the street, go wherever. So we went off Bourbon Street. We had some oysters. We had some jazz. Excellent meal. But like I said, Bourbon Street's gone way downhill and just really a turnoff. It's all strip bars nowadays, strip bars and hookers, and if that's your thing, head to Bourbon Street. Emeralds was amazing. He got me into the cooking. Bam! You know, Doc Gibbs on the music. I love Emeril. Bam! I was saying bam in the restaurant. I hate to do it. I hate to do it, and I think maybe I'll wait until Smitty gets here to do it. But we really do have to talk about Sandusky. I guess I'll just talk real quickly, and I'll let him weigh in. They've dismissed four or five counts against him, so it's down to 48 counts. It's so, so sick. So sick. And, I, you know what, I didn't even want to talk about it. The guy's guilty of sin. He's going to get what he deserves in prison. But speaking of sick, you got to be a special kind of sick to take the young girls, the five-year-old girls. And this guy in Texas, if you haven't heard this story, a guy has a farmhand. He hears his daughter screaming. His little boy says, hey, a man took my sister. 23-year-old father. Runs over, sees a 47-year-old ranch hand molesting his 5-year-old daughter. And that's, I think, kind, the word molesting. I think it's because the facts haven't been totally proven yet. And he does what any father would do. He absolutely goes batshit on the guy and beats the crap out of him. And the guy ends up dying from his injuries that he sustained in the fight. If any crime should result in the death penalty, it's that. So this is justice. And Texas rules, even if this guy meant to kill him, the guy would still get put to death for what he did. But in Texas, they kill people. That's a Smitty. It's ironic. He'll die. In California, they never do. Can't believe in the death penalty in California because all it does is cost you money. In Texas, if they say they're going to put you to death, you die. You don't mess with Texas. But yeah, so, sorry if I don't have any remorse for the man that was killed when the father saw what was going on. And the father is not being charged with a crime, nor should he be. That's self-defense. Defending your child is defending your life as well. All right. Fantasy Insights Radio. When we get back from the break, we're going to get into football. We'll talk a little bit about the L.A. riots for a second, just because Rodney King died, and being from L.A., I do have to comment. Smitty will be here when we get back. Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
I don't even know what to think of this one. Smitty's here with me, but Rodney King is dead.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Definitely stirs memories for anyone in L.A. at the time.
Yeah, I mean, being from L.A., I remember during the riots standing on my balcony and looking downtown at all the different fires.
Right. Where'd you live at the time?
I was on, Beverly Glen and the Wilshire area.
Okay.
I was in a swanky area of town. I was safe.
Okay. Well, I've got a quick story on the day after, which was really when the riots started. I can spin this out.
Yeah, go ahead. Spin it.
Okay.
Spin it quick.
So, yeah, I will. I just always have to ask leave to not be interrupted for like 2 minutes, you know. You understand that. So at the time, the riots started in the evening and they really got going the next day. And so I was an attorney in LA working in the Century City Triangle Towers. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And so, we're looking out towards downtown and you see like little puffs of smoke. And so a bunch of us lawyers, okay, well, that's down there. Don't worry about it. And as the day is going on, the morning's going on, you see these puffs of smoke. All of a sudden I look over and I realize at least a few of them are almost perpendicular to where we are. So a bunch of us all go out to lunch. We grab lunch. By the end of lunch, we all convince ourselves to go home, which was great. We did. The traffic jam getting out of that underground parking garage was about 2 hours,
hour
after we left. And by then, Reginald Denny had already been pulled out of a car. I had a back road from Century City to Marina Del Rey, and this is how insane it was. And I said to myself, all right, I got my aluminum softball bats out of the trunk, put them in my front car. I said, all right, I've got three levels of weaponry. I've got my car, then I've got the bats, then I've got myself. I drove back to Marina Del Rey, got home safely, but before I got all the way home, stopped and got some videos.
Now, my experience from the riots was that the day that they began, I was supposed to go to a Laker game that night.
Right.
And I think I was supposed to go with Kevin, actually. Hmm. And we decided, you know what, my dad called and he's like, yo, white boy, you sure you want to go to the hood tonight with the verdict? And I said, dad, Pops, probably not the best idea. So we stayed home and we played Strat-O-Matic basketball instead.
Nice.
I'm a Jewish grandmother at heart. Everything scares me anyway.
Sure.
So my buddy says he doesn't care. He wants to go, and he's going to take the tickets. So a buddy of ours takes the tickets, and he goes, and we're watching the game. And this is back, I think it was the same year that Magic said that he had HIV. We're watching the Lakers. This is the Sedale 3 days. And all of a sudden, Lawrence Tanner, greatest stadium announcer ever, comes on, and you hear the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, please be advised you must exit through the Florence Gate. The police have cordoned off Manchester. And he starts making announcement. My buddy told me it was pandemonium. They're trying to get out of there. People are throwing rocks at cars. And not like stones, like big rocks.
Right.
You know, so I remember my thing was, it was Wilshire Boulevard. There were no police anywhere. Wilshire Boulevard's the main thoroughfare. It's like, take the main thoroughfare anywhere you live and imagine driving on the wrong side of the street, the opposite way, without a cop in sight for miles. Mm-hmm. I was like, I drove to the store. I picked up as much water as I could. LAPD let it happen for a night.
Yeah,
they really
much.
Did.
Yeah,
now,
pretty much.
You know who stopped it? Do you know how the riots ended up stopping?
Hmm.
Okay, everything was like in a swarm moving towards Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Now, when they got to Beverly Hills, to the edges of Beverly Hills, all of a sudden, Beverly Hills started pulling out vehicles fit for war. I'm talking combat vehicles, Smitty, tanks, armored trucks that carry troops, sophisticated killing machinery. And I'm saying the dudes with the shovels and the lead pipes walking towards this part of town, they said, yeah, you know what? L.A.'s pretty big. Let's head east.
Right. No, it was, I mean, yeah, that's what, 13, 14, well, no, that's 20 years ago.
It's a long time ago. It's 91. It's over 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think was it 91 or 92? I think it was 92.
One of them.
Yeah.
And the story to me is not that Rodney King died. Honestly, I don't say that. I hope it's not so insensitive, but I'm surprised he lived as long as he did.
Yeah, well,
this was not like a good guy. I mean, he was part of a bad situation.
Right.
You know, the police were acquitted in his crime, but after seeing this bath salt stuff, you know, police on guy on PCP, look, he became the face of that whole thing, and he just wasn't. It was the time when NWA was singing Straight Outta Compton and F the Police. And honestly, this experience did change the race relations in L.A. forever, and for that, he is an important
figure. Well, of course, and there's almost like a bridge from that to the O.J. trial.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, well, if you remember, okay, one other quick one here. The day that the O.J. trial, there was rumor, and if you were living there, you know that.
Yeah, that there was going to be riots.
Yeah, there's going to be riots if he was found guilty.
Yeah, I remember.
And so what's amazing is that day, I was basically going down to the Diamond District, believe it or not, to buy an engagement ring. I waited at home to see the verdict before I headed down because my jeweler had told me, hey, if this goes south, just don't come down here. And I'm like, yeah, I understand.
I can't believe that you were actually going to buy an engagement ring. That's what I took out of
that. What do you
mean
I did? I bought one.
Wow. Well, we'll have to hear that story at another time.
Yeah, fair enough.
Last thing, and then we'll get to football. Everybody knows I'm no big fan of the president's policies. Everybody knows I lean to the right. But I have to tell everybody something. Back the F off. Executive privilege is the president's right. He has every right to claim executive privilege on this, even if you don't like it. I don't like it, but it's his right. Bush did it. Every other president has done it. What I do wish is that Obama would be a little bit more protective of our internal information and not let people know that we built a virus with Israel to destroy the reactors in Iran, not to tell everybody how our SEAL teams save people, not to let people, we're coming to go to war. I mean, I guess I'm old school, you know, but it's a football show, and it's like football. It's like the quarterback doesn't tell the defense to play.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you with
the
whole endorsement.
That's right. I mean, after the game, Eli Manning does not say, whenever we run into single coverage in the red zone, we go to a deep fade to the X.
Yeah, you understand.
And every D coordinator knows what to plan for.
You don't
tell them how you do stuff.
Sure, but you understand, though, that that's the tip of the iceberg of all things that we're doing. There's a kill list, there's drones, there's all that stuff going on. So it's a little bit for publicity, but that's the
problem with it.
That's the
greatest line in the movie with Al Pacino and Colin Farrell, where he's the recruit and he goes to the farm. Maybe it's called The Recruit. Hmm. He goes to the CIA movie where he recruits
the CIA with
Bridget Moynihan. And I don't even remember the line now. He says, hey, rule number one, don't get cut. He says, listen, our successes, nobody knows about. They'll only know about our failures, and you got to be okay with that.
Right.
And that's what it has to be. You're putting agents in the field. You're putting intelligent assets at risk. All right, let's get to football.
Well, yeah, because if you keep talking, I'm going to bring up Valerie Flame or whatever.
I don't even want to talk about her.
Of course you don't.
Come on. They gave her secrets up. I'm not saying that he's the only player. Hey, look, I can't even win with you. I just defended the president.
Oh, I know.
For the first time ever, and you're still on the attack.
No,
liberals, man.
I got to ride the hot streak there.
All right, let's
talk
football.
I just can't imagine you in the fall in a rally going, Mitt.
It'll never happen. I'm not a Mitt Romney fan. I just see him as the lesser of two evils. I don't think he's a bad man. Hey, look, I think he's a good man. I don't know if he'll be a good president, but I know Obama's not a good president.
Well, and all of his wives agree with him. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying. Look, it's enough politics.
Hey, let me get away with that.
In general, here are the surprises or the situations that right now I am watching most closely in football, fantasy football, everybody. Welcome back to Fantasy Insights and Fantasy 2012. You're going to be surprised the first guy I mentioned, but I think one of the draft day's huge value plays is a kicker named Josh Brown. Did you know he went to the Jets?
I probably would have got to that eventually.
Okay, so he got to the Jets, and that's a team that's going to have a lot of field goal opportunities because of the style of play they have and the conservative, you know, heavy defense style. I think Brown's a big fantasy play. Low conversion to TDs, a lot of field goal chances. He's accurate. He kicks from distance. Martellus Bennett has bulked up to 290 pounds, and he's going to play tight end for the New York Football Giants. Very interesting. They say that he looks like an athletic specimen, not fat, that he's just all muscle.
Bennett's been a bust in Dallas. I mean, they always...
Well, he always was a bust, and he says it was because he couldn't be the guy. I mean, do you think he can, as the guy in the Giants, take off, or you think it's just a wasted choice for them?
You love tight ends far more than I do. I think there's five great...
I don't like Bennett. I'm just looking at him as a potential sleeper.
Yeah, but...
I wouldn't take him.
No.
You know who I'd take over him this year?
Who?
Lance Kendricks.
Well, you know, before you leave Josh Brown, of course, the only incident, only issue there is the potential for more inclement weather from where he's kicked previously, so.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad observation. I think that, the other situation I'm really watching closely is the Raiders.
Right.
The running back at the Raiders is Darren McFadden. Now, everybody knows McFadden is an all-world talent. However, he's gonna get hurt.
Right. You know, we should devote a show to fantasy football strategy.
Noted, we will do that.
Yeah, seriously. No, because as you're talking, you're talking about kickers, I can't help but thinking, yeah, the one thing I look for in a kicker is to make sure that they're in good weather in weeks 14, 15, and 16.
Well, see, but that's because you look for championships. My theory is you can always pick up a kicker who's going to kick in good weather later in the year.
Well, yeah, so you're saying I look for championships and you just look for the playoffs?
Sometimes it's week to week. That's how it goes. The Raiders running back situation, right now they're sniffing around Cedric Benson. But their backup running backs to McFadden are Tywan Jones, who's a speedster, definitely cannot handle an every-down role, and Mike Goodson. Mm-hmm. And Goodson actually has had some 100-yard games in the league as a starter, what he's needed to replace people. But I still think that they're lacking. I don't like the Cedric Benson idea. But the Raiders, Goodson or Jones, if they don't sign Benson, those two could end up having some fantasy value. Ocho Cinco is going to Ocho Say Socho Cinco. Did you know that? He's going back to Chad Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be Chad Johnson again. And by the way, he will be relevant again in Miami. He will be their number one wideout, and he will have a rebound year. I don't know how well, but he's definitely a top 36 receiver and a starter in three receiver leagues. Your comments on that?
Yeah, problem with him is he's the modern Andre Rison. He can't run routes. He just goes deep and makes athletic plays, and that caused a problem. That's why he wasn't a success in New England.
Yeah, and you know what? If Matt Moore wins the quarterback job in Miami, though, I think he's a perfect receiver for him because that's the kind of style Moore, that's why he had success with Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Other things I'm looking at, Earl Bennett in the slot, Eddie Royal in the slot, Titus Young on the edge. I like Titus Young a lot this year. We only have a minute till the break, so I'll throw these out there, then we'll talk about them a little bit when we get back and go over the teams. Ronnie Brown is the only backup to Ryan Matthews, and Ryan Matthews, they feel they're going to give him the ball till the wheels fall off, so Ronnie Brown becomes an option.
That's scary. That's scary.
Talking about Ronnie Brown. I believe Cobb beats out Skelton. I believe Moore beats out Garrard, and I believe that Flynn beats out Tavares Jackson. I also like Joe Webb to challenge Ponder. And when we get back from this break, Smitty, we're going to go to the team tour. I'm going to open up the depth charts. And we are going to go team by team, starting with Arizona, and give you the fantasy outlook. Fantasy Insights Radio, back right after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world,
collegiate and professional.
Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
I just can't get over this whole Sandusky thing, Smitty.
It's abominable. I mean, you really can't define a worse person.
I think that, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the death penalty?
Yeah, and you know.
No. Do you believe in the death penalty?
Yeah, in the right situation.
No. Do you believe in the death penalty? See, this is the problem I have. You either do or you don't. What you use it for is a separate issue. But you either believe or you don't. And if you think Sandusky should be put to death, like I do, then you believe in the death penalty.
So if you force me into a yes or no, then I'd say no, but there's a lot of qualifications.
See, I just say rules of the jungle, baby. A pack of wolves had a bad wolf that was eating all the other wolves and destroying it. They'd kill that wolf
Better off shooting the guys you're taking them into custody, because the thing that you probably realize is that the way the death penalty is enforced, it costs far more.
Not in Texas. I agree with you. I said earlier on the show, in California, I'm anti-death penalty. In Texas, I'm for it.
that may be. I mean, and that's part of what...
California costs too much to do. In Texas, they actually kill the people.
On the other hand, going down that same path, you know,
I'd rather see Sandusky in prison subjected to what he's going to be subjected to than to get off easy by being killed by lethal injection. I think this guy is going to have every shiv, every broom handle, everything possible thrown at him, and he deserves it.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to remember, a lot of these guys, you know, have families, have kids. You know, they've killed someone along the way, and so there they are. And that's exactly where I was going, because you know, the relatively quick death is probably a lesser hell than
now.
Just...
Where are you on McCreary? Because this is something that actually really bothers me.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you on that. As far as like, it's the same thing as.
You see a rape and you don't report it. You see a murder, you don't report it.
Well, it's cowardly is what it is. Because
cowardly. Good job. That's the word I'm looking for.
Now, because it's the same thing as, you know, instead of stopping a fight or instead of stopping someone bullying someone, and obviously that's just an extreme thing. You know, you just like you said, just making noise or shouting instead of doing something about it.
If he was whipping them with the towel and being slightly inappropriate. In that way, different story. If he saw him smack him on the butt, different story.
Yep.
Okay, in sports, I've smacked a lot of boys on the butt. Not boys, men. When I was a boy, they were boys. When I'm a man, they're men. Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, your buddy makes a big play on your team. You go, you know what I mean? You see it in every game, okay? So there's some ambiguity there. When McCreary...
That's why I like co-ed sports.
What's that?
That's why I like co-ed sports.
Yeah, you can't... That's, you know, it's funny because you really have to... I had a girl on the baseball team this year. And with the boys, I could, you know, smack them on the butt. Or, like, not in a mean way, like job. Or, you know, smack them on the arm or whatever with her. I made sure never to touch her, ever.
That's almost surprising coming from you.
No, stop it. We're talking about 8-year-olds. Come on.
Oh. So, no, I thought you were talking
by
about
the way, she was never the only girl in the league. She didn't know how to do a thing at the beginning of the year, and she got three hits in the last game.
Plus you were married at the time. So.
God, Smitty, you are disgusting. Stop it. Stop it. That's not even funny. I don't entertain that.
No, see, the thing where you're going down, I didn't realize you're talking about kids. I thought you were talking about co-ed sports.
No, I'm talking about McCreary. Okay, yes. McCreary. What McCreary said is he walked into the bathroom and because he heard skin upon skin smacking.
That's terrible. I mean,
so he walked into the bathroom, he saw Sandusky having sex from behind an 11-year-old boy, having sex, not just hanging out or touching, having sex, and his intervention was to slam a locker so that they knew someone was there.
Right.
And my point is, hell no! You run in there, you knock that old man silly on his ass, and you keep the kid behind you, and you say, cop, you're on the freaking floor, and I'm not letting you out of this room till the cops get here, you can deal with them, a-hole.
Right.
And you put the kid in the towel, and you call people right away, and you don't move until the kid is safe. Sorry, McCreary belongs in jail. Sorry, that's it.
It's well above what it takes to be complicit. So, you know, I mean, I don't follow the case that much. But there's no charges against him specifically.
There's no charges.
That
is the account he gave that led to the whole investigation.
Right, you understand that's probably a done deal, meaning that.
Yeah, he got immunity. I get it.
Yep.
But the point is, he can have immunity from the law because that's the way the law works, but he better not get immunity from the court of public opinion.
Well,
and that's what I'm making sure of.
And even the way things spun out, I mean, you know, it's sad in a way, but there's no way that Paterno didn't know something about it. And
it's just too disgusting. It's too disgusting. Let's stop talking about it. Let's get to what everybody wants to talk about some football. Starting in Arizona.
Are we going to talk hoops at all this show or no?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple minutes of hoops before we get off the air.
Okay.
But not yet.
All right, fair enough.
Let's start the football tour.
All right.
We're going to start in Arizona. And, Smitty, I know in the offseason you never look at football, nor do any of the other writers. So what I will do to ease this segment is I will go over the depth chart of the team and tell you the players, and then I know you'll be able to weigh in.
Oh, sure. And, you know, it's funny. In fairness to me, I often have charts in front of me. I didn't grab them today.
That's okay. I've got the charts.
All right.
So in Arizona, the first battle everybody wants to know about is Kevin Cobb versus John Skelton, the quarterback. And I say it doesn't matter. You can't draft either one.
Skelton, I think, is playable. I think Cobb's been a nightmare. So, in other words, assuming he gets the job, you'd have to draft him too high, which you don't want to do. You're better off taking a flyer at Skelton if you need him later in the season.
Well, and not only that, but you just talked about strategy, and my strategy would always be, why draft a quarterback who could lose his job? You're better off going and getting somebody who you know has the job.
You don't want to pay the price it takes to get that guy, so let someone else do it.
See, the only thing I disagree with you on is I think Cobb's going to be where I don't think he's going to go for anything. I think he's a 12th, 15th round pick. I don't think he's in the top 20 quarterbacks.
You're saying he doesn't get the job then?
Even if he does get the job. I wouldn't make him top 20. Even if he gets the job.
No, I wouldn't make him top 20. No, you're right. I wouldn't make him top 20, but...
Beanie Wells going to play the running back position there. Ryan Williams, you remember Ryan Williams, the draft pick they were high on last year, who was supposed to provide the third down work, and then he ended up tearing his knee up. He's back and looking healthy. Looks like he'll be able to back up Beanie. Beanie hasn't played yet. But the battle here is for the starting wide receiver opposite Larry Fitzgerald, and the battle will be between Andre Roberts, who came on very nicely at the end of last year, and rookie Michael Floyd. Where are you on Floyd? See, I think Floyd wins the job. I think Floyd has way more talent. He's gone under Larry Fitzgerald's wing. He's taken it very seriously. And in the red zone, this guy can go up and get the ball. He's a playmaker, whereas Roberts is a possession receiver. So
yeah,
to me, Floyd's the guy to own there, but I want to hear your take, Smitty.
No, I agree completely this case because Roberts is a little guy. He's a little scat back kind of guy. Those guys are always limited, so he can, yeah, I mean, Roberts is a poor man's Titus Young. I mean, that's kind of his role, and so that's never the starter opposite the superstar. So yeah, Floyd can win the job.
And I think that Floyd actually can have a fantasy impact because you're going back to the days of, you remember when Bolden and Fitzgerald and Breston were on that team, they all put up fantasy numbers.
Sure, absolutely. And we've seen that in the right makeup. Well, but again, now your issue there is if you're going to go that route, I think you want Skelton to win the job to have some good games because you're still going to be limited with Fitzgerald's going to get passes because all those guys can throw to him and he's an incredible receiver. You've got to temper that until you get what looks like a reasonable quarterback in that spot.
Yeah, no, that's true. So the quarterback's an issue. Just a note as we move on to Atlanta, Rob Housler, the tight end who last year was a rookie that they drafted before they signed Todd Heap, looks like he will be extremely involved in the passing game this year. He's a sleeper to keep your eyes on. Still no more than top 22, top 23, but keep your eyes on him as we go through. Moving on to Atlanta, the most interesting thing in Atlanta is Dirk Cotter has come over to coordinate the offense. Malarkey's gone. They end up drafting the fullback from Wisconsin, cutting Magelli. Jason Snelling is still there. They're saying he's going to get a lot of time in the passing game. But the most interesting thing here is it looks like they're going to running back by committee, that Turner will be the lead back. But with Turner, Jacquez Rogers, and Jason Snelling, with a coach who likes to distribute the ball via the screen game, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, more wide open. Is Matt Ryan the big winner here, or is Julio Jones the big winner here? Who's the big winner in Atlanta this year?
Well, given what you just said, then Turner's the loser, but that's also the pattern, as we know, that the days of the non-running back by committee are going away, so you've only got a few superstar catch-and-run backs like the, you know, Arian Fosters and guys like
LeSean
that.
LeSean McCoy, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's only a handful of guys. It's funny. One of the strategic conversations this should bring up is, if you had the first pick in the draft, would you be taking a running back or a quarterback?
I'd probably take a QB based on, well, that's the thing. You've got to either make sure you get one of those four or five mega backs or
let
them all go.
The four or five are McCoy.
Right. Foster.
Ray Rice count?
Yeah, you got to count Rice.
MJD?
I step MJD down because, you know, he's going to fall somewhere.
And he's holding down and he's got no quarterback.
Yeah, and he's not.
Forte?
Yeah, Forte is healthy.
Okay.
Forte is healthy. Gore, no.
No way. No, I mean, I can look through and I can tell you who are. I think Trent Richardson could be one of those guys this year.
Yeah, but just don't do that then.
No, I'm not, you wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying he's a guy who could do it.
Adrian Peterson, no.
Although Peterson, have you heard what's going on with him? How he's already cutting and beating people in races?
Yeah, that's what you said.
He looks at me. He's going to be ready for week one. I think he's going to be a steal. You know who I think actually fits what we're talking about and is going to be a value play because we've completely forgotten to mention him right now is CJ2K.
Yeah, sure.
He had a pretty good last eight games. He only had one bad game out of his last eight. The short lockout, the bad attitude hurt him.
Right, lockout, holdout, 2K,
yeah.
All those combined.
And all those. And now he's got a better attitude. He's been at everything. I really like him a lot this year to bounce up into that top echelon.
I just realized something else we need to do, and maybe we already do this in the PSR. Focus on the guys that really came on at the end of the previous season. So if you did that with CJ2K, you'd see that towards the end of the year, he started having games that, you know, were solid.
Yeah, they were him again. Well, we take all that into account when we make the rankings, obviously.
Yeah. I'm just hyping the, you know, the site and the show and the, yeah, I'm shilling.
And the report now, Julio Jones, by all accounts, is going to be the number one receiver in Atlanta and overtake Roddy White this year. Are you confident in that, or you still think he's got to prove it to you on the field before you downgrade Roddy White?
I think they're both solid, but Roddy White has games where, in the right matchup, you just can't cover him. So Roddy White still has the potential to have a 15-catch game. No, I don't concede. I just think, you know, Jones is getting to the point where he's...
But they're both top 20 receivers for sure.
Yeah, sure, but I wouldn't say... Jones is a burner, you know, whereas White's pretty solid. I mean, are they both top 10 is almost the question.
No. Okay, so let's go on to Baltimore.
Okay.
I still think the problem here is that the quarterback is Joe Flacco. He had eight lousy games last year, and eight decent games last year.
And I always lose to him when I play against him.
Yeah, he'll have that three-touchdown game. Now, yeah, we only have a minute, and then we'll come back after the break. Ray Rice is the obvious number one pick here.
Sure.
Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones, do they make Anquan Boldin better, or is Torrey Smith the one you want of the receivers here?
I think this could be, with coming out of the blue and having some spectacular games and hopefully a hard-working offseason, I think Torrey Smith is the guy that could really take off. Bolden's a guy that you're going to draft, and he'll be adequate, but he'll have some bust games. So
I think you're right. I think he's bi-week filler. Okay, we need to take a break. When we get back, we'll go through Buffalo, Carolina, Chicago. We'll talk a little bit of NBA. Fantasy Insights Radio coming at you on a Thursday.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, we are back. And Smitty, before we continue our tour of the NFL teams, why don't we talk about how LeBron looks like he's going to get his first championship?
That is so unfortunate, and I do think it wasn't prominent throughout, but I think the calls in Game 4 were terrible. I think it just got to the point where if LeBron looked at the basket, he got the foul call, and I'm surprised because you'd think that the usual NBA conspiracy would be to make sure you get a long series. Now, that may still happen. But
I got to tell you something, man. Watching these games, first of all, I have to give LeBron credit because I am a LeBron hater.
Yep.
And like I told you, I was more of a LeBron hater until I heard the story about what he did with the troops. Then I was only a LeBron hater as a basketball player, not as a person.
Right.
Okay? I like LeBron as a person now. I just think he made some dumb mistakes.
And
now,
ESPN
as a player...
ESPN went along with it.
Yeah. And as a player... The last few games, this is his team, not Dwayne Wade's team.
Right.
And last year was Dwayne Wade's team. I still think Dwayne Wade is the only way LeBron gets close to a championship, but LeBron has finally, in this series, gone clutch. Now, you've got a game tonight that I'm near certain. What's the line? I'll tell you who's going to win. Do you realize I've been right both times?
I know, but you're like three or four straight, so here you go.
Yeah, so let's see. What's the line? I'll tell you who's going to win.
Miami minus -3.
Sucker bet. Everybody's going to take Miami.
Really?
Wouldn't you take Miami if you're betting?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oklahoma's going to crush them.
Oh, I hope so.
They will.
Did you realize?
Oklahoma's going to be favored by 6 or 7.
Yep.
You watch. In game 6... and the sucker bet is to take Miami there, so Oklahoma's going to crush them again. You're going to get a game seven. The only reason I'm going out on this limb is because I watched Oklahoma City beat the Spurs four straight. And if you can beat the Spurs four straight, you can beat Miami three straight.
Yep. So watch, tonight will be the night that I agree with you. I lay my pizza money down, and you're wrong.
Well, you know what? It's not the true sucker bet would be Miami minus one or one and a half.
Right.
Three is, it's close enough, but it could be a sucker bet either way.
So the dish pick of the night is take OKC and the points tonight.
I'd tease them.
To what?
Oh no, I'd do money line. I'm sorry. OKC is going to win the game.
Okay.
That's my play.
Okay, that's
based on the sucker line.
That's going to be small. That's like plus one.
How about Russell Westbrook?
Oh my God. So when I was talking about calls, here's the thing. So the game that Westbrook's having, and then middle of the fourth quarter, you see him in the lane, shoot an air ball while he's flying to the side. I'm pretty sure he was fouled.
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you something, though. I think Scottie Brooks has done a good job, but Scottie Brooks does one thing that I absolutely can't stand. He puts Durant on the bench, and no matter what happens while Durant's on the bench, he does not put him back in. He says, I'm giving Durant his 4 minutes of rest now, and I'm putting him back in when I'm putting him back in, and they go from up 13 to tied, Durant sitting on the bench the whole freaking time.
Yep, but guess what?
If you are up 13, Durant is on the bench, and it gets down to 8, he goes back in the game. Period, the end.
Yep, you won't see that tonight. You're going to see 46, 48 minutes out of Westbrook and Durant.
I know how to coach. Did I tell you that my team the last three games are combined was 34-7?
Really?
In baseball? Yeah. These kids. So I know what I'm talking about when I tell you what to do with Scottie Brooks.
Well, Brooks has done a good job in general. I'll tell you, though, aside from that, the one thing he did that was really impressive was, I think it was game two, was it, where he left Durant in when Durant had five fouls, or maybe it was game three, and he got through the entire quarter, where most coaches won't do that because the stereotypical play is to, you got to take your guy out, where he trusted Durant enough to back off, and Durant didn't foul out.
Yeah, but I'm of that school of thought. I always think a good player knows how to watch his fouls, and you got to depend on him. Okay, let's get back into football. You think Miami takes it tonight, or you're going with my theory, OKC?
I'd love OKC now. I'd like San Antonio, but I'll play the game. I'm going to take OKC.
I think it's real hard to beat OKC three games in a row.
Right.
This would be four.
Yeah, did you realize that no team, I didn't realize this, no team has ever come back from 3-1 down the finals?
I heard that the other night, and I thought that was definitely not true, but I guess
it
obviously
apparently
is.
But wouldn't you think that would have happened?
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. So,
and you think it'll happen this year? Some of those great
teams. That would be so crushing to have it snatched from LeBron.
It would be the greatest basketball thing ever.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Anyway.
All right, Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is backed up now by Vince Young. Vince Young apparently is looking pretty good. But you know what? Chan Gailey plays that spread offense. And Vince Young has always been a decent shotgun quarterback. They just tried to put him under center, and he can't handle that. He can't make his reads. Gailey's the type of coach who, if Young gets in there, he's going to say, what are you doing? 1-2, run.
Right.
Don't go through your progression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I give Gailey credit. I think he's done a good job with this team. CJ Spiller will be the starter with Fred Jackson. They might hurt each other split in time, but Spiller certainly was awesome at the end of last year. Stevie Johnson, your favorite Bible thumper, is going to start. He's looking healthy. Brad Smith is expected to get a bigger workload, a lot of Wildcats, still not really draftable fantasy. Donald Jones has been working in the slot, but they're really high on a guy that Dr. Moneyball, our new addition to FI, says is Graham, this kid T.Y. Graham or T.J. Graham, whatever his name is. He is getting a lot of work in the slot, and there's a good chance he could end up being the starter opposite Stevie Johnson. David Nelson's impressing nobody.
Right.
Anything you want to say about the Buffalo situation? Anybody in particular you care about there?
Well, what's interesting there, Ryan Fitzpatrick has turned into a legitimate pro quarterback and legitimate fantasy quarterback.
For
6 weeks. But here's the weird thing. There's something more to the Bills. If you look at their last few seasons, I agree with you. Gailey's done a good job. He's got a team, you know, sort of turn the corner. Something strange happens to that team at the midway point of the season. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what happens to that team midway through the season is people start figuring out Fitzpatrick, and the reason they start figuring out Fitzpatrick is because the defense gets injured and they have no depth. This year, they have the best defensive line, the best front four in football. Mario Williams is there.
Right, right.
And they've got the draft pick from last year. You know, I don't know anything about defense. I just know that these guys are amazing.
No, they've invested in their team, and I'd like to see them turn the corner. I mean, good God, it's Buffalo. The temperature is like 10 below most of the winter. You know, give those folks something. So they're trying. I mean, you know, I hope they succeed. As far as what you mentioned, I think Fred Jackson still has value. It's a tough call, so C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson both may be useful.
Well, and Stevie Johnson obviously is a top 20 wideout, maybe top 15, depending.
Disappointing year last year, though. I mean, really a down year compared to his rookie year.
But you know what's ironic? He still was in the top 25.
But he didn't.
Receivers really, it's not as deep as a position as it used to be. The position now is quarterbacks. They spread the ball all over the place. Okay.
Right.
We only have 2 minutes, so let's get to Carolina.
All right.
Cam Newton, obviously a stud. I would argue in leagues where passing touchdowns are the same value as rushing touchdowns. In certain leagues, they're six. In certain, they're four.
Mm-hmm.
I think in leagues where passing touchdowns count the same as rushing touchdowns, this is the clear-cut number one pick.
Well, wouldn't you almost say the opposite? In other words, because he has so many rushing touchdowns, that actually elevates his status in the four-point leagues.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
I mean, I thought you were going the other way.
Backwards.
Yeah, I think you said that backwards.
Do you think he's more... Maybe I did say it backwards. Well, you know, look, I was on the Meds.
No. But
then I was in New Orleans.
If you got a situation where a quarterback could rush for an ungodly 20 touchdowns, and those are all worth six, and you're going against guys that the passing touchdowns count for, I think that's what you were trying to say, is that Cam Newton's clearly number one.
More value.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have it backwards. I'm no economist, even though I play one on TV. Now, Mike Tolbert is on this team, and he's running exclusively as the fullback. It's still going to be a split between Williams and Jonathan Stewart. Tolbert moved there just for lifestyle. He wanted his family to live there.
Sure.
Steve Smith, the clear-cut number one. Brandon LaFell is going to win the starting spot, the number two wide receiver, and we only have about 30 seconds, but assuming he does win that spot and Newton does like him in the red zone, what are your thoughts about him as a potential fantasy flyer? Is he dead in the water or is that a sleeper?
LaFell?
Yeah.
No, I like LaFell. LaFell was up and down, and I think what people can gauge is that as someone's coming into their own, the ups and downs are kind of natural, and you kind of hope that the next year that's a little steadier. So I think LaFell's good, and I love Tolbert. I mean, I've loved Tolbert. I use Tolbert in a lot of my leagues.
I do, too. I just don't think in Carolina he gets the ball enough because of the presence of Williams and Stewart, and
it's
they
crowded.
Got rid of their other fullbacks to make him
crowded.
Big. All right, 30 seconds has passed. Fantasy Insights Radio is done with another week. Smitty, thank you for being here. And, again, we're going with Oklahoma tonight on the Dish Theory. Everybody, go get your bets in. It's football season, folks. Have a happy July 4th, even though I'll talk to you before then. See you next week.
All right, just be right, man. Let's go OKC.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.